Yesterday, I sent a text message to Gabriel Castillo and was like, "Hey, can you come on tomorrow? Is there anything you'd like to talk about?" And he said, "You know, I want to talk about Our Lady of Sorrows." And I actually did not know that today was the Feast of the Seven Sorrows of Mary. I only found out this morning whenever I pulled open my missal and started reading the Mass for today. But joining us right now is Gabriel Castillo, host of Gabi After Hours. Good morning, Gabriel.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Praise be to God. You know, before we jump into our conversation on the Seven Sorrows of Our Lady, but what about the Seven Sorrows Rosary? This is something that's not very well known. I only discovered it actually because your assistant, Claire, when I was in the novitiate, sent me a Seven Sorrows card and I started praying it then. So tell me about this devotion.
Yes, I will. So let me ask you, did you say that today is the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows?
It's the Feast of the Seven Dolores, the Seven Sorrows.
The Seven Sorrows of Mary. That's incredible. I had no idea when you asked me to be on this program and I told you what I wanted to discuss. I had no idea that today was that feast. And in prayer, I've consistently have been feeling this special call to promote the Seven Sorrows Rosary, devotion to the Seven Sorrows, and especially a novena called the Irresistible Novena that they say it's so powerful that Our Lady cannot resist it. Jesus cannot resist it. So I would like to talk to you about all of those things. But briefly, the sorrows of Mary are so powerful because the heart of the gospel, the heart of Holy Week, and the true essence of our spirituality, the Paschal Mystery, is a meditation on the life of Jesus Christ. Saint Teresa of Avila, Doctor of the Church, said, "The greatest thing that you can meditate upon is the passion of Christ." And so if all of the other saints, like St. Louis de Montfort, St. John Paul II, St. Maximilian Kolbe, St. Thomas Aquinas, they all say and agree that Mary is the fastest, most effective means to Jesus Christ. So if I want to learn the passion of Christ, if I want to become another Christ, Mary is going to be the fastest way. And the fastest way through Mary is through her pierced and sorrowful heart. So the heart of Mary is immaculate. The heart of Mary is sorrowful. And as good as I try to be, as much as I want to love Christ, as much as I want to focus on his passion, I am consistently going to be tinged with self-love, with self-interest, and viewing things through a defiled heart. Even as I grow in holiness and I become sanctified and I become one with Christ, my heart is never going to look at Jesus with the purity, with the intensity of love of the Virgin Mary. And so Mary has many rewards and favors that she gives to those who have a devotion to her Seven Sorrows, and especially if they pray the Seven Sorrows Rosary, which we'll explain how to do in a moment. But Jesus himself adds to these blessings because part of his suffering, part of his agony on the cross wasn't just physical. It was an emotional torment and an emotional toil. And because Mary and Jesus are so connected and the heart of Mary is so pure, the agony that she experienced during Christ's passion was more painful than the death of all of the martyrs combined. This is from St. Alphonsus. He said that Our Lady suffered more than all of humanity has ever suffered. And the suffering of Our Lady would kill a normal person because it's so terrible. And so our Lord, seeing his mother compassionating, suffering with him, it tore out his heart. It was a dual suffering. It was a bodily suffering. It was an internal agony. And everything that our Lord experienced physically, our Lady experienced spiritually. So as she watched her son be nailed to the cross, it was as if she was being crucified, not physically, but spiritually, emotionally. And so our Lord blesses those in addition to all the promises that Our Lady makes because they console the heart of his mother. If you think of all of these beautiful paintings that we meditate upon concerning the Passion of Christ, we always see John there with his arm around the Virgin Mary, consoling her. And so he is the perfect example of a true disciple of Christ, standing with Christ at the foot of the cross, consoling the heart of his mother. So the Seven Sorrows Rosary is really easy. But before I give that to you, I want to give you some of the favors because we'll do any what? Because some people are like, "No, not another devotion that I have to feel obligated to do." No, this is really a benefit and a blessing to the soul. And I'll just give you some of the fruits. So you'll have peace in your family. You'll have peace of soul. A lot of people suffer from this internal ache, this internal anguish that they feel like, "Well, you know, why do I have this? I've got the Holy Spirit. Why do I have this internal ache?" Our Lady will console you in that internal ache. She'll console you in all your trials. She will be with you in your works. If you're suffering from an addiction or from a diabolical obsession, all the saints say that the blood of Christ gets rid of the devil. Well, when you go to the blood of Christ and the tears of the Virgin Mary with her pierced heart, the devil will flee from you. She will help you to know God's will for your life, which is ultimately the plan of God. The goal of Christianity is union with Christ, especially to do His will. And we will get back to how to pray that seven sorrows rosary.
You know, before we went to break, we were talking about the graces you receive from the most sorrowful rosary of Our Lady of Sorrows. And, you know, I was thinking about this and whenever this morning, and I was talking to my friend Andrew, actually, and we were discussing Our Lady of Sorrows a couple months ago, really, and we were going back and forth about it, and I thought it was so interesting that we have two feast days in the church's calendar in regards to Our Lady of Sorrows. Friday before Palm Sunday is a feast of the seven sorrows of Our Lady. And then the third Sunday in September is the feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. And there's two days dedicated to Our Lady of Sorrows. And it's like, okay, why does the church want us to focus on this mystery so much? And my friend Andrew actually made the comment, and that stuck with me so much. He said, when the church, and I noticed he says, when the church declares Our Lady as mediatrix of all graces, when the church makes that as a dogma of the church, it'll be on the feast of Our Lady of Sorrows.
Wow.
And that touched me. And I was like, yes, 100%, because it makes sense. Our Lady of Sorrows, that's when she became crucified. That's when her soul was pierced. That's when she gave birth to the church. All her birth pains, which she did not experience at the birth of our Lord and Bethlehem, was experienced there at the foot of the cross. Tell me, Gabriel Castillo, what are your thoughts about that?
You know, I agree 100%. And there's also, ever since I became devoted to Our Lady of Sorrows, there's more than just those two feasts. There's the feast day of St. Gabriel of Our Lady of Sorrows on February 27th, I believe. There's also in February the feast of the seven Servites, who are the ones who were charged by Our Lady through an apparition to spread devotion to her seven sorrows. And at Fatima, the last apparition that she gave on October 13th was as Our Lady of Mount Carmel and also as Our Lady of Sorrows, kind of showing us the devotions that she wanted for the end times or for these times. Pray the rosary every day, wear the brown scapular, be devoted to Our Lady of Sorrows, and then, of course, that apparition of St. Joseph with Jesus blessing the world. So it's very relevant. And also the last church-approved apparition was Our Lady of Cobejo, where she warned the children in Rwanda they must amend their lives and they must pray not just the rosary, but they must pray the rosary of Our Lady of Sorrows if there's any hope for that region. And, of course, they didn't. And so the Rwandan genocide was the fruit of disobedience to Our Lady and a life of sin. So there you are. It's very relevant. It's very relevant.
Sure. And, you know, if someone said, okay, you're right, Gabriel, I'm convinced Our Lady of Sorrows devotion, I must have this devotion. Our Lady, Mediatrix of all graces, Our Lady of Sorrows, pray for us. How on earth do I do this? Do I have to, is there a one correct way? Are there multiple versions of the Seven Sorrow Rosary? How does this work exactly?
So, and I want to encourage you, this is Holy Week. Try this. Literally just try this until Good Friday. Have a resolution, have an intention. She will do in you what needs to happen because you're giving her permission to quote unquote perform open heart surgery on you. She will use the sword that pierced her heart to carve your heart to be like Christ, but have an intention as your motivation. And to pray the Seven Sorrows Rosary, you could pray it as a rosary or you could just pray a single Hail Mary for each sorrow. I have found so much fruit in praying this rosary that I now pray it multiple times a day in addition to my normal rosary, not as a burden, but because it's so fruitful. So to pray the Seven Sorrows Rosary is simple. You state, and it's easier than the regular rosary because you don't have all these add-on prayers and before prayers. You simply state what the mystery is, and we'll go through the Seven Sorrows of Mary, and then you pray an Our Father and seven Hail Marys with each of them. It is encouraged that you make an act of contrition before you start the rosary, but it's not absolutely necessary. So one Our Father, seven Hail Marys for each of Mary's seven sorrows, and you meditate upon them. And I'll give you two pieces of advice for meditation. If you're going through an emergency, if I were you, I would, in your meditation, approach Mary in her sorrow. So if you're meditating upon the third sorrow of Mary, Jesus is lost for 3 days, you imagine how frantic it must have felt like to lose a child. Like if you've ever lost a child in a grocery store, even for 5 minutes, your heart jumps into your throat. And if you imagine having lost that child for 3 whole days, and if that child is not just your son or daughter, but that child is the Son of God, and you have an immaculate heart, the anguish that Our Lady must have been experiencing. So in your meditation, you imagine her going frantic, but in the middle of her frantic searching for Christ, you interrupt her and say, Blessed Mother, I know this is an emergency, but please, I'm begging you, give me the grace to be protected from this passionate temptation I have. Give me the grace to have a conversion for my husband. So you're touching her in her most tender moments. So that's one way to meditate upon it. What I like to do as well is just simply console her. Jesus is looking for hearts to console his mother. And how would you console somebody who lost a child, for example? You'd put their arm around them. You say, I will help you find Christ. I will help others find Christ. So that's the way to meditate upon it. So the seven sorrows of the Virgin Mary are the prophecy of Simeon, where a sword will pierce her heart so that the thoughts of many might be revealed. The saints say that once that sword pierced Mary's heart, that prophecy happened. Everything in Mary's life was tinged with sorrow. When she would look at the child Christ playing, for example, and every mother would be full of joy when they see this. But because she knew that her son was going to be a man of sorrows, she looked at him with sadness. In every mark of his life, there was always that great sadness in her heart. The second sorrow is the flight into Egypt. It's easy to remember this because there's kind of a twofold sorrow in that not only did she have to flee because they're going to try and kill her baby who was just born. He's so innocent, so good. He came to save the world, and those who he came to save are now here to persecute him. But also the massacring of the innocents already from such a young age. People's blood was going to be spilled. Innocent lives were going to be shed simply because of Christ. The third sorrow is looking for Jesus for 3 days. So it's easy to remember that. 3 days, third sorrow. We covered that already. The fourth sorrow is easy to remember because that's also the fourth sorrow of the Most Holy Rosary, Jesus carrying the cross. The fifth sorrow is the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. We meditate upon his passion. In your meditation, you can say, Lord, hide me in the cross. Lord, hide me in the nails that pierced your feet. And just be as elaborate or as, you know, conservative as you want in your meditation. But the goal, again, being to look at the crucifixion through Mary's pure and pierced heart. The sixth sorrow is the removal of Jesus from the cross. You can imagine the Pietà. And the seventh sorrow is the burial of Christ. Now, I mentioned earlier an irresistible novena. So if you're going to pray the irresistible novena, you, number one, you state your intention. Number two, you pray the seven sorrows rosary. And number three, you conclude with the litany of Our Lady of Sorrow. So it only adds another 2 minutes to your prayer. This takes about 15 to 20 minutes to do. So in 25 minutes, and you pray it for 9 days in a row. That's called the irresistible novena. It's so powerful that I started doing it on accident. I was reading a book and I said, Lord, is there anything in this book that you would like me to do? And it was a very thick book and it was to the irresistible novena. So I tried it and I said, Blessed Mother, you're going to have to give me a lot of favors if you're going to want me to promote this thing. And seriously, it has been so powerful that I pray the irresistible novena perpetually every single day for the rest of my life. And like I mentioned, I'm praying more than that during Lent. It's just so powerful, especially because a lot of times we get lost in the purpose of Christianity. We start to think that Christianity, the purpose of it is devotions, and devotions are good. They're how we show our love for Christ, but they're worthless if it does not result in me doing God's will. Our Lord said, not all of those who say, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God, but only those who do the will of their heavenly Father. And so many people struggle to hear the voice of God. And usually, not all the time, sometimes there's a waiting period, but usually that's because God does not want to speak to those who do not want to listen to him. So we don't do God's will primarily for two reasons. Number one, we're too hasty to ask, but ultimately because we really don't want to do God's will, because God's will means sacrificing our lives to do his will. And he said, he who wishes to save his life must lose it. And the reason we don't want to do his will is because we don't want the cross. And by meditating upon the cross of Christ, through the sweet, immaculate, sorrowful heart of Mary, she will remove and reveal our obstacles to doing the will of God, and she will help us to love him above all else, and most importantly, she will help us to know God's will and give us the grace and the strength to do God's will.
Now, Mr. Castillo, if someone wanted to have, you know, a physical rosary to pray the Seven Sorrows Rosary on, where can people get one? Because I got to say, when I was looking for them, I struggled very hard to find one. And luckily, Claire made me one, so I actually have one. But before that, I couldn't find any.
I have some that you do not have to struggle to find. I reached out to Rugged Rosaries, which is a rosary company that makes very tough, rugged, durable rosaries. They're located in Houston. And any rosary on their website, if you order and put in the notes section, make this a Seven Sorrows Rosary, they will do that for you. But in addition to that, I ask them to design a Seven Sorrows Rosary, and they have one that the exact replica of the one that I use. It's got big, fat, black beads. It's got Our Fathers that look like they're made out of blood. It's really beautiful and has a St. Benedict crucifix and an image of the Sorrowful Face of Christ and Our Lady of Sorrows medal on it. They also have like the World War One battle beads that are also Seven Sorrows Rosary that has a crucifix that has a crown of thorns around. It's very beautiful. But if you go to ruggedrosaries.com, I'm not affiliated with them in any way. I'm not getting kickback. But they have the most durable rugged rosaries, but also they have two versions of the Seven Sorrows, or you can turn any of their rosaries into an Our Lady of Sorrows rosary, and they'll do that for you.
Wow, praise be to God. That rocks. I was not expecting that to be the answer you gave me.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Praise be to God. Well, you know, Mr. Castillo, this devotion is something that the Irresistible Novena is something I haven't heard of, so I'm going to have to look into that.
Try
especially.
It.
Yeah,
it.
Absolutely. Especially now, it's what, 7, 8, 9 days till Easter Sunday, right? So
is
this
really?
Is a perfect day to
start. Your novena right now, folks.
Amen. I'm going to start it today. If anyone wants to join in with me, I'm going to go find this and send it out to everyone in our email list, the Irresistible Novena to Our Lady of Sorrows, and I'm going to start it today.
I got an idea. You can share, make a little video of just this segment, and I will also share that out with people, letting them know to do this novena and start it right now.
Absolutely. Praise be to God. Will do. See here that, folk. We are doing this together as a Lenten practice. Start today, and we end on Easter Sunday, praise be to God, and then maybe onward to infinity. But praise be to God.
Yeah, you'll never stop.
Well, praise be to God, Mr. Castillo. Check him out. Gabi After Hours is his main channel, but you have a bunch of other channels. Where can people find you?
Yes, just go to Gabi After Hours. That's our one-stop shop. I have a website called www.truefaith.tv. Our goal is to specialize in making high-quality production videos for sharing the faith, for sharing with family members, and that's our goal. I appreciate your time today.
Amen. Thank you very much, Mr. Castillo.
Thank you.
Rock. You are a rock star.
God bless you.
I always say people to people, but God bless you, Mr. Castillo. We'll have to have you back in the future. And I got to say, Gabriel Castillo, never a miss. Never a miss. Not even one time. Praise be to God. I'm going to read to you this little meditation out of my little missalet here. This is Benedictus. It's kind of like the traditional Latin Mass version of the Magnificat. And here, they left a sermon from Dom Michael Barrett, a Benedictine priest, historian, and monk of St. Benedict's Abbey in Scotland, and from 1924, gave this meditation on Our Lady of Sorrows. He says here, when she consented to become the mother of him who was to save his people from their sins, Mary embraced whatever of joy or sorrow that office might entail. She was indeed to take a great part in the world's redemption. Not only did she furnish, by the power of the Holy Ghost, the body wherewith Jesus was to suffer, but she was destined, by her office of Mother of the Redeemer, to offer that great sacrifice in union with her Son. It is one way in which she brings about the fulfillment of the promise made by God in Eden, when he told the tempter of the woman's ultimate victory, "She shall crush thy head." Under the tree of the cross, Mary was to undo the work of Eve under the tree in paradise. As God waited for her consent before sending his Son to be born of her, so he desired her willing offering of that Son for the salvation of the human race. Therefore, it is that Mary stands on Calvary, taking her part in that wondrous sacrifice. She stood, says St. Ambrose, gazing with maternal love on the wounds of her Son. Thus she stood, not waiting for her Jesus to die, but for the world to be saved. It is not to be wondered at, seeing the close connection between the suffering of Jesus and the compassion of Mary, that those Christians who have been drawn to the more assiduous contemplation of the former should have been attracted by the latter. Consequently, Mary's sorrows have been the cherished devotion of many holy souls in all ages. Although the Lenten feast bears the same title as that in September, an examination of its liturgy will show that it honors chiefly for the one special dolor of the presence of Our Lady under the cross of Calvary. The antiphons for the office of Vespers and Lauds are selected from the mystics of Canticle of Canticles. They speak of Mary's desolation and the loss of her beloved. I will go to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Calvary, although a place of bitter sorrow, myrrh, is the mountain of sacrifice, whose oblation rises to heaven with a sweet odor. What a beautiful meditation today on this feast of the seven sorrows of Our Lady. and especially meditating on Our Lady as foot at the foot of the cross. What a beautiful grace. What a beautiful grace. So join me. We're going to be praying the Seven Sorrows Novena starting today, ending on Easter Sunday. I hope you join me, Mr. Castillo, and whoever else wants to join in with us. We're going to be doing that. So you're going to want to hop onto our email list, grnonline.com/CDT. I'm going to send out that link to doing the novena, how to do the novena. It's going to be linked there.